May I speak to you this Christmas day in the name of the one who comes among us as incarnate word and gives to us the gift and hope of new birth. Please be seated. Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith your God, saith your God. Blessed Christmas, my very dear siblings in Christ. Blessed Christmas, everyone. Verse 9 of this holy day's reading from Isaiah sent me to listen to Handel's Messiah. The theme of comfort in verse 9 echoes in the beginning of the majestic overture in the early verses of Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort in Isaiah tells of the comforter. In Isaiah, this is God, pausing, taking a breath, rethinking judgment rather than executing punishment. As Julie Faith Parker writes in her commentary on our passage this morning, with an exuberant heart, Isaiah proclaims a message that gets to the heart of Christmas. Catherine Ellis writes, a sense of tense expectancy shouts from the words of Isaiah this day. The prophet has been preparing the people for the promised return to Jerusalem, to Zion, the city of God. In the first verses of Isaiah 40, he has set the stage by proclaiming God's forgiveness and a message of comfort, hope, and peace. Now he prophesies again of the time when the waiting will finally be over. In the time of Isaiah, a runner would bring news from the battleground or some other crucial news, such as the king is dead or long live the king. The most famous runner, of course, was the 26-mile run that announced the Greek victory at the Battle of Marathon in 490 BCE. And the runner, it must be noted, delivered his message and dropped dead. The sentinels on the walls, the town criers watched anxiously. These are the sentinels on the walls of Jerusalem, destroyed some 60 years earlier by the Babylonian conquerors, who had taken the brightest and the best into exile. And what a message to come to them. God has not abandoned God's people. The holy city, Jerusalem, has been redeemed. There is a new king. And what a king. Not an earthly Davidic king, surely they had proven ineffectual against the destroyers. No, now it is God who reigns, who has come to lead the people back to the holy city. God's reign will be one of shalom. More than just an absence of war, it will be a time of wholeness, abundance, goodness, and purity. God is not ruling from some distant heaven either. They can see God in plain sight. Verse 8. When news this good comes, the people shout for joy. They break into cheering and into singing. The news is so wonderful that even a ruined people, a ruined city, join in the joy. Joy? Amid ruin? How can it be? As I was thinking about Isaiah's passage, a song kept running through my head. I kept hearing, that Christmas day with joy was bright, the sun shone out with fairer light. That seemed to have the right ring to it. It fit the mood and the message of this day. Yet a nagging voice kept telling me that my memory wasn't quite accurate. So off to the hymnal I went. Well, those are not the exact words, and it's not a Christmas hymn. But yes, the association was absolutely right. The song says that Easter Day with joy was bright. And I noticed with great interest that the tune to this hymn is Puer Nobis Nasciter, Our Boy is Born. Obviously, someone had made the same connection as I had. It's no fluke that the church associates Advent with Lent and Christmas with Easter. It's often as we look backward from Easter that we can see the good news of salvation and the birth of the Savior. This time of birth anticipates the rebirth that will come with the resurrection. It reminds us of the joy that came to the disheartened disciples who had witnessed Christ's cruel death. When the women proclaim, "He is alive," joy. Joy among ruins? Yes. Comfort, redemption, salvation. Surely this is a central message of the resurrection, of the good news that God has brought to us in Christ. Only from that vantage point can we look at the infant in the manger and say triumphantly, "Our God reigns." Now, this is supposed to be a happy season. This a day of great joy. We all know that. We sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King." And yet we acknowledge that many among us greet this day with ambivalence, if not with great sadness. The child looks up from the pile of toys and asks, "Is that all?" The family dinner deteriorates into bickering. Those with no one feel the loneliness with special longing. The poor of our communities appreciate the food baskets, the hot meal, and yet wonder where the next one will come from. The oppressed and downtrodden of the earth, those without hope, are overwhelmed with despair. And alas, often with anger at the opulence of many in contrast to their condition. Suffering is the lot of many. Indeed, this section of Isaiah this morning comes in the midst of those passages known as the suffering servant songs. And that's exactly the point. God will exalt the ruined, disfigured servant. The temporal rulers of the world will be numbed with astonishment. In the resurrection, God exalted not the proud and the mighty, the temporal rulers. God exalted the suffering servant. He comes to us as a newborn child born into the human condition. He comes as teacher and healer. He comes as crucified and risen Savior. This message is not for believers alone and not for rulers alone. The Savior's might will be revealed before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God, verse 10. This was the goal of Paul, the messenger, in Romans 15. Those who have never been told of him shall see, and those who have never heard of him shall understand. This is the imperative of the Great Commission. To make disciples of all nations. Joy among the ruins? Impossible? Think of those whom you have known, or perhaps yourself, whose stories you have heard, who through great tribulation have kept the faith. Think of the dying woman who from her hospital bed brightens the way of other sufferers as she tells of her own faith and trust in Christ, in the eternal life and heaven itself. She believes the promise. Think of those who, after so many disasters, natural and human cause, step forward to help. Those who run into danger for the sake of others, who give a sense of mission, who persevere, working among circumstances and dangers beyond comprehension for most of us, who rejoice when they find anything that might give comfort to a relative of one who is lost. On this Christmas day, through joy and sorrow, we too are called to be the messengers, the God-bearers, the Theotokia. We're called to go forth to all peoples, announcing the good news, the one who came bringing salvation. Good news. And as we do this, we hear the promise of the new Jerusalem with echoes strong from Isaiah. The messenger announces it with a loud voice. See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them as their God. They will be God's peoples, and God will be with them. The Eternal One will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. Revelation 21. What a message. The message of Isaiah. The Christmas message. The Easter message. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our God and of God's Messiah. And God will reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. The Incarnate One has come among us. The Incarnate One has come within us. And we are called to spread this great joy and hope and love and comfort where it is most and desperately needed. Come, Lord Jesus, Comforter, Redeemer, Savior. Lead us forth to the new Jerusalem. Come, Almighty One, be among us now in joy and sorrow, in love and hope forever and forevermore. Come. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.